This is Beyond the BEO, and I'm your host, Shenandoah Nicholson. Each episode, we chat with events industry professionals about how to make your event the best possible. This show is brought to you by The Right Stuff Agency, making your business sound as good as it looks. Be sure to follow Beyond the BEO on Instagram, where I share tips on how to grow your personal brand, host great events, and have an impact in your events career.
Welcome back to the show. This week, my guest is Naomi Tucker. Naomi is an event professional who has made it her mission to support event professionals in their career. She empowers ambitious event professionals to overcome burnout so they can have better relationships, career success, and lead a life they absolutely love and enjoy. This week, we're talking about burnout. And I really enjoyed this conversation because we spoke a lot about avoiding burnout while on site. I think we talk often about the before and after the event, but especially if you're in a long haul event, even over a few days, you've had a stressful few weeks and then you're executing. How are you ensuring that you're taking care of yourself and your team while you're on site? So I hope you enjoy this conversation. Let's get into it. Welcome, Naomi. Thank you so much for joining us on Beyond the BEO. I'm really excited to talk to you. I know that, you know, you have a lot of experience in the event industry. You also have a lot of podcasting experience. So excited to chat with you today about events and learn more about your podcast and what you do in the industry. So maybe you can start off by just giving us, you know, a quick rundown of who you are and what you do in the industry.
Great. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you so much for having me. Well, a little bit about me is I have really been in all different facets of the event industry. I like to say I've kind of done it all, almost all. I started in hospitality working at a hotel, and I have worked in third party as well as in-house as a meeting professional too. So I feel like I've done all different facets of event professional or being an event professional. And then I also have been, I'm a director, account director as well recently as of late. So yeah, very, very excited.
I think having that kind of experience in the industry helps so much though. I know that for myself, you know, I've always been on the corporate planning side, but I do think there is something to be envied of someone who's kind of done a bunch of different roles, right? Because you're going to get a little bit of different insight and have a better understanding of where everybody's coming from, right? You know, sometimes I feel like as a corporate planner, it's like, well, I know what I want and why I want it, but maybe my vendors and things have other, you know, ideas because there are things that I'm not thinking about. So it's great to have that well-rounded experience.
Yeah. And it actually kind of evolved as somewhat of a journey, just like working in the hospitality side, working with event professionals and just seeing all the details that they had to handle, let's say, outside of what they needed to tell me as their CSM, and just kind of wanting to be able to manage more, right? And so that's what led me into being more of an event planner, and it's just really been a fun journey. I feel like I've done events from, you know, very small events to large citywide conferences, and it's just really great to just learn and meet new people and really try to meet customers' needs. So that's just a fun part of it. I just really love what I do.
Amazing. And I know, you know, today we're going to really be talking about burnout and what that looks like, you know, this year as we kind of are looking towards the last half or a quarter of the year and what that means going forward, you know, whether it's post-pandemic or just the, you know, even if we don't use the word pandemic, if we just talk about the changes we've had in the way people are working and the way people are experiencing events and what they want at events, you know, what do you think has changed since planning in 2019 compared to 2023 that can really have an impact on event planners?
Yeah, I think what has changed in 2019 is just, number one, probably the elaborate budgets we had. I feel like in 2019, there was a lot of volume that was going through the industry, but then there also was a lot of cash flow, a lot of spending, which worked good for event professionals and worked good for the industry. But as we went through that thing we don't want to name in the last few years, a lot of the budgets have been cut, and the way people are doing meetings are a little different. People are, I guess, exploring digital versus, you know, in person, and how that is all going to flesh right now. So I think right now definitely it's budgetary, especially when we see some of the economic woes happening right now. People are doing more with less, but then also how they plan meetings. I feel like the inclusivity and diversity has definitely helped our planners become more aware, which is a really great thing. But that also, everyone has to change, slightly change how they operate and how they plan events. So that's another area that I feel like certainly has changed in the last few years. And then just also how we connect, being more attuned to how our customers and our attendees are connecting and how they prefer to connect. I think that's really important too in learning that we have gotten over the last few years. Some people don't want to be in person. They want to be connecting virtually, or perhaps they want other supplemental tools while they're in person and connecting, and need that combination of both. So even professionals have been challenged to get the right formula for their programs and for their attendees.
I think it's figuring out the right formula. You just really hit the nail on the head there of, you know, we are trying to figure out what people are looking for going forward. And, you know, it's split, right? Some people are like, great, I never have to get on an airplane again. I can watch the same sessions at home. Amazing. Sign me up. And then other people are like, I will never watch another virtual event for the rest of my life. I used to joke with my husband, you know, during lockdowns, of saying to him, I'm like, if I never see the inside of another celebrity's home because they're doing some talk show or some concert, I will be a happy woman, right? Yeah. So I think they're, you know, and then satisfying the in-between, right? Mm-hmm. And pushing people out of their comfort zone for both, right? To say, no, there is a reason to come back in person, or no, we can do some things virtually, and this is why and how and why it might be more effective than in person. But, you know, kind of keeping the goal in mind, right, is so important.
Yeah, I agree. And in person definitely is the way, right? That's the way we want to be able to meet. I feel like that's where all the magic definitely happens. However, people want to meet differently. They don't want to do it the same way they did it before. They want it to be purposeful. They want to have moving moments, and they want to be able to connect with the people that they need to be able to connect with in order to, you know, take care of any future actions. So, and the event professionals have to provide that environment for them to make those, you know, very important connections. So I feel like in person is more important than ever before. It's just all about how it's done. And the same thing for virtual connecting. There's people don't want to be on a Zoom all day long. You know, they probably want small nuggets of that virtual experience, and just finding out how that works within a program to basically overall enhance the satisfaction of the program.
For sure. I think we're also seeing this move towards, I think I'd call them kind of less busy agendas, right? Mm-hmm. So not trying to stuff the agenda with a session every minute of every day, right? Like allowing for that time for people to casually connect or more formally connect, but that are not tied to a session, to really push that benefit of in-person. You know, I remember one time I looked at an agenda for an event, and it was virtual, and there were so many breakout sessions, they didn't even fit all on my page. I'm like, I can't even like keep track. Like, I don't even know, like, and just at one time, I think they had like 10 at one time. Oh, and that can kind of work if you're segmenting your people, because you say, okay, well, you know, we're doing it by location. Fine. That's easy enough. But if I have to try and figure out what session I'm supposed to go to when you have 30 different sessions, like it's too much. It's overwhelming. Like, people don't want to be that scheduled, right? They want to have that time to breathe in between sessions, to connect and chat and meet new people and connect with old people. So I think it's really important that it's a challenge that planners are having to kind of evaluate of, yes, wanting to still have an agenda that is connected to the goal of the event, right? Obviously, you're not just paying to have people sit and have lunch, right? You know, what is the reason that they're getting together, but allowing for a little bit more breathing room in those agendas.
Yeah, I love what I'm seeing though out there. Just so many great ideas that people are putting forth. Just extra break time, which is always nice. And during that break time, having different areas that our attendees can connect and they can refresh. And that's really important because people are busy. They are pretty much, you know, getting on planes burned out, going to their next thing. And if we can offer our attendees just some kind of means of kind of a break during our events, that could help while they're actually being fed really great, impactful content as well. So I really love what I'm seeing. People definitely are being intentional about putting their attendees' well-being within programs and also taking care of themselves, which is really good to see, because I feel like we all need that little bit of a break, that breather, and having it built into the programs is definitely key.
Yeah, I think that's really true, that even your wellness breaks can benefit the planner, right? You know, you're probably going to be focusing on other things, but if you kind of know, okay, there's this time in the agenda where I know that there's not going to be anyone on site because they're either at an offsite or they've got a break and so they've gone back to the hotel. It is nice to be able to think, okay, I'll have a little bit of breathing room where I can, you know, go change my shoes and, you know, maybe run a comb through my hair and have some water, that kind of thing, right?
Because we don't eat.
Make sure we're taking care of ourselves.
Exactly. Or even just have a person that has a little bit of extra bandwidth to be like, hey, you're the, I don't know what you would want to call them, but just the person who's making sure that everyone is taking their breaks, they're doing what they need to do, they're eating, they're taking care of themselves. Because sometimes those days while you're on site are pretty long, and just making sure that you're taken care of is, it just can be very nice to have someone just being attentive to those things.
Yeah, it's so true. I know that for myself when I'm on site, you know, often I'm just so busy and so running on adrenaline that I'll look up and say, oh, I've been on site for like 5 hours and I haven't eaten anything. So maybe I should go, you know, try and grab something. And it can be hard if you're like, you're all amped up and excited to, you know, take that break or take a moment away when you're like, oh, I just want to keep going on to the next thing. But that's the longevity. You know, I just saw a planner online who was working on an event that was about 2 weeks long. And she was sharing things that she does because she's like, these are long haul events, right? These are not 3-4 days of in and out, you know, and the performance at the beginning has to be just as consistent as the performance at the end. So how do you kind of protect yourself and protect your team and ensure the integrity of the event?
Yeah, I mean, and that's so true, because event length is definitely something to pay attention to in how you are taking care of yourself. You know, being at an event for 2 weeks versus 3 days definitely is a completely different thing. And you have to have a different plan for how you take care of yourself, depending on the time frame that you're going to be on site as well. So that's definitely a good point.
Yeah, and I think that it's probably a great idea. You know, you mentioned like kind of a floater who's going around making sure everyone's taking care of themselves and, you know, has the water and has the breaks that they need. And I think it's about, you know, ensuring that that's scheduled in, you know, not your people can't be scheduled from start to finish as well, right? Because they're going to burn out, especially, you know, I know in corporate events, oftentimes we have folks from other departments who aren't maybe used to kind of how an event flows, and we bring them in to support, or because they're, you know, they've got customers or partners on site, and they're like, by noon, they're like, oh my goodness, I feel like I've worked 3 days, right? So it's about finding that balance.
Yeah, I mean, I know of a planner that I was working with and came off of a 3-4 day offsite completely just burnt to a crisp. And a lot of what happened was because of the staffing that was on the program. It wasn't ideal. They were working with maybe 3 people when they could have gotten away with doing 4 to 5 just to be able to give the appropriate breaks that are needed. Because what was happening is they were all on from, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning to the whole 11, 12 o'clock at night when the last event is done. And they were doing that every single day. So just at least having that extra person there to be able to help coming in the mornings where everybody else is, you know, gets a little bit more time to come in could be very, very helpful. So I agree. Scheduling it in is really important. Keeping mindful of that, giving your team breaks. And it doesn't have to be long breaks because we're all there to work, but it's just that little bit. Waking up at 5 a.m. versus coming in at 9 is a, you know, a world of a difference. So paying attention to that is just really, it's really helpful. And it will help you as well as help the people that you're working with because they'll be more happy to help.
Happy yeah, and I think, there. Yeah, for sure. And you want to keep your volunteers or your voluntolds very happy right. year over year. Exactly. You know, and I think it's also, there are times in a day and during an event where there are obviously the crunch times, right? You know, mm-hmm. you know that when you first open Reg, you're going to have the biggest rush, but then it's right. probably going to taper off. And where can you kind of plan in those breaks and giving mm-hmm. people the time? And I also think changing what they're doing is mm-hmm. really big, right? Like, yes, you want people to kind of get comfortable with their role, but I know that, you know, if you're the people mover or you're the human arrow, give yeah. them a different place to look at, right? Because it just gets your mind moving in a different way and it kind of mm-hmm. breaks it up a little bit. You know, don't leave someone in a hallway for 3 hours by themselves, right? Like, you know, give them maybe an hour here and then move them back to Reg or move them over. And kind of making sure that everyone knows the basics of every role so that if someone says, hey, you know, I need to take 15 minutes, you can easily pop someone in there mm-hmm. that you're not all of a sudden scrambling, right? You know, everyone should kind of know the basics of mm-hmm. what to do and, you know, equipping them with, you know, a clear and easy run of show to follow and who right. to ask for certain things. I think it's about, you know, giving them that variety so they're not just kind of staring at the same thing all day and staring at the same screen and are getting a bit of movement and a bit of a change of scenery, I think is really important.
Yeah, I mean, and all of this is what we're talking about really is just teamwork. And I know that sometimes, you know, even professionals, they own what they do, they're owning their event. But as you're starting to get closer to the event or even depending on the event, even earlier than that, just bringing in that team, letting them understand what's happening with that show flow, being able to work out some of the challenges before you get on site is very helpful. So as super intentional as a planner can be, it can be very helpful to making sure that things are going really smoothly on site because you have a team that's well informed. They're not asking when the next, you know, next rush is going to be. They're equipped with the tools that they need. And that just helps everyone to be able to have a nice, easy, not easy, but a really good experience when they're on site.
Effective,
yeah. Yeah, because it's not easy. I mean, we're all working hard. It's just working smarter, right?
Right. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's true. It's kind of equipping them, giving them a lay of the land. And, you know, I think in every industry, not just events, we all take for granted what we know and what others don't know, right? We mm-hmm. think, oh, well, of course, you know that Reg is going to be busy again at lunchtime, but, you know, yeah. someone else might not think of that, right? And mm-hmm. it's the same with whatever your role is, you know your role best, right? And so right. they might not think about, oh, well, you know, we need to, you know, I've gone to, you know, smaller office events where the buffet is set up on one side. And I'm like, please move that table into the middle, right? You know, why wouldn't you think to move that table into the middle, right? But of course, like, it's what we're used to. We know it. We don't even think about it. Like, of course, we're mm-hmm. going to move it into the middle. But if you're not doing it every day, like, it's not innate. And you start to take for granted the things that seem like instinct. It's like, mm-hmm. it's not really instinct. It's just experience.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Experience does matter. And those things are very, very helpful. So yeah, as much as you can get it, something done ahead of time, it's really intentional. And another great thing is just having those meetings during the event. I'm afraid to say, but there are some people out there that still, let's say don't have those meetings. But I think it's really important to have just those pre-event meetings, you know, whenever it is a convenient time and just go over, okay, here's what's happening for today. Here's, you know, the teams, here's what everyone's responsible for today. And just having that just quick review of what's happening and maybe a quick end cap to the night to have a meeting in the afternoon, evening. So it's just really important to have those things because then everybody is on the same page. There's not too many questions. If there's any caution flags that people need to bring up, they can bring them up during those meetings and you can take care of it intentionally versus when, you know, everyone's scrambling.
Yeah. And I think you always learn something from the first day and the second day, right? I think I always joke with teams, especially if it's a team that's new to events or, you know, people new to the industry. I always say the first year is the hardest. The second year is probably the easiest. And then the third year, you're starting to look for ways to make it different than make the first it different. Second year, right? So like the first year where you're like, we don't really know. We have an idea of how many people are going to come, but because we've never done it before, we've never been in this venue and we've never experienced this flow. Like there's things that you learn that you try to anticipate. Of course, you try to anticipate everything, but maybe on the first day you're like, oh, we realized that there wasn't enough signage at the food. So we've added a few more signs, or they weren't in places that people were paying attention to. And so, hey, everyone, we've added that stuff in. And so, you know, that knowledge of, okay, we had some feedback yesterday and here's how we've changed it, or here's why we didn't change it because of whatever reason, right? Yeah. So I think it's really important. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about relying on teams, and I think planners are a funny bunch, right? We are very, you know, obviously very organized, very detail oriented, used to being in a lead role, but also need to be able to play on a team. And so I think sometimes we really love the idea of the teamwork, but then we struggle to hand it off when it's like, okay, like we need to just trust that this person is doing the thing that they were assigned to do, whether it was leading up to the event or after the event or during the event. So I think it's kind of finding that balance. And I think that just comes with time with a team, right? You can't really expect it overnight. It is really important.
Yeah, it is really important. And you bring up trust. I think when a planner does have trust in her team or his or her team, it does bring about some comfort. It does bring about a little bit more ease because you know that so-and-so is going to do their job. They're going to do the role that you put in front of them. And I think that that's just really important. So just really off the bat, just finding those people that you really thrive with on site, and making sure that they're always a part of your team. If you can have some control over that for the next year, I think that's just definitely important. But then give yourself a little bit of grace because, hey, yeah, if you are a first time person coming into, let's say, a particular event, there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve. So just really kind of keeping yourself to that, just giving yourself a little bit of grace that, hey, I'm learning. And then, hey, the next event is probably going to be even better than the first.
Yeah. And I think it's also, you know, knowing your team, right? And knowing even before you get on site, you know, using those very important people skills to say, oh, I think this person would be really great in this role. And I really want to set them up for success. So I'm going to, you know, assign them to this, right? You know, I know when we're looking at a group or any event that I've done and you've got a team, you're kind of looking like, okay, who are your people, right? The people that are going to be really comfortable at Reg, who are going to be happy to talk to 500 people all day long, right? And who are the people that maybe that is going to just tire them out, and they are really great at making sure all of your swag is in order, and making sure that the rooms are set up properly, and making sure that the signage is correct, and checking that the signage switches over at the right times. And, you know, who are your detail-oriented people? Who are your people that are going to be really good at, if you assign them a task, you leave for an hour and that task is just done, versus the people that, you know, might need to work more with other people, right? And I think it's, you know, a letting people, you know, lean into their strengths instead of trying to force. And like, of course, you know, everyone should get a little bit out of their comfort zone once in a while, but also like not forcing it when you don't have to, not making it harder than it has to, right? Just saying like, oh, I know this person. If I make them talk to 500 people, like they are going to be asleep by lunchtime. but if I put this person to talk to 500 people, that by lunchtime, they're going to be buzzing and ready for the afternoon, right? So, you know, knowing your personalities, knowing your skills, knowing that of yourself and your team, I think is really helpful when you're on site.
Yeah, absolutely. You make me laugh when it says, when you were talking about talking to other people, like I know that there's usually on my team, there's like this person, and there's one person that I'm thinking about in particular, that is such a person that can just light up any room, make anyone smile and laugh in any kind of situation. So, and it's just so important that that person is kind of doing some of the reg desk, and it just goes so well. It goes so well. It's amazing to know your team, to know what they're really strong at, because it can make a world of difference. I love getting kicked out of like, hey, Naomi, we got it. They're doing the name badges. They're collating all the gifts. And they're like, hey, we got it. No problem. We'll bring you any problems. And it's like, okay, wonderful. Great. Let me move on to some of the more important things, like going, making sure that my client is doing really well and providing whatever I need to next. So It's just so, it's kind of a gift when you have a team like that. So all the planners out there, if you do have a team that's really kicking butt like that, you got something good. Hold on to it.
For sure. The team makes all the difference. So,
yeah,
you know, we're coming up on time, but I wanted to, you know, we talked a lot about on-site and kind of burnout on-site. And I think that's really important because I feel like we always focus on the before and after, and I am going to ask you about the before and after an event, but I'm glad that our conversation really kind of focused on that on-site experience. Cause I think, you know, it's so easy to get head down and then like look up and be like, what happened these last 4 days? But
right.
You know, what do you think is really important? You know, you mentioned some of it leading up to, but how can people avoid the burnout, you know, after an event when you know that you've got another few coming up? Or, you know, how are you kind of managing it throughout the year so that you're not having those peaks and valleys as drastically?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Well, after an event, there's several things that you can do. Everyone's unique and everyone's pretty different. So you have to know kind of what it refreshes you, what is going to help you. And it's really just nice just to have at least a day after your event to just to relieve yourself of everything that went on site. And that can happen in different places. I feel like as event professionals, we are gifted to be able to travel around the world and travel to different places. So if you're in an area that you can take an additional day just to enjoy that area, I would just say, go ahead and do that. It definitely can refresh you, especially when you know you're coming home to everything that's awaiting you. It can really be a helpful tool for you to just take an extra half day, extra couple hours, just to do a little something in the area that you're doing, kind of like a gift to yourself before you go back home. But just giving yourself adequate time in between events, if you can help it. If making sure that you're scheduling the right teams is really important, making sure you're putting, you know, time in for any PTO or any time off that you would need, just treating yourself in the areas that you feel, you know, alive in, because it's different for everybody.
For sure. People's and I think sometimes even just sneaking an extra day of, you know, being out of the office, but really just using that time to catch up. Right. You know, I think we all experience it when we're coming back from an event or we're coming back from holidays and you're catching up to an inbox of, you know, a lot, right, of things that either may not be important anymore or have been resolved or were dealt with on site, and you just want to clean that up. I know I'm an inbox zero person, and right now I have like 40 emails in my inbox and it's driving me crazy. But, you know, kind of having that time to go through, clean up, you know, get fresh so that when you are kind of back online and everyone is reaching out to you again for whatever the next project is, you're not kind of in chaos while you're trying to answer them. You kind of cleaned up, you're starting fresh, and you're ready to kind of tackle the next thing.
Yeah, and it's important for everybody to know that. I mean, the people that you work with don't have to know, oh, hey, you know, Naomi's taking an extra day to kind of relax. But they do need to know, like, when you're going to be back in the office, or you're not going to be back into the office until this day, because it's important for them to just hold on to some things until you're back. Because sometimes we are always on. Many times we all have our phones on, and even if it's the weekend or whatnot, we're still going to want to tap in and answer that email really quick. And because that's just what we do, we're in the service industry. But if you can tell all the people in your circle that you're going to take some time, then they can respect that time and then you will be able to get the rest that you need. And I would just encourage planners to allow their team, not allow their teams, but just encourage their teams to do the same, to take some additional time, especially after a hard program. Encourage them to take some time off if they can.
For sure. I think, you know, that leading by leading by example, right? You know, people, you know, I've known executives or leaders who have gotten feedback of, you know, you message people when they're off and it stresses them out. And they're like, well, I don't expect them to answer. I'm like, but they expect that you expect them to be answering, right? So, you know, learn how to use your schedule email and schedule Slack and schedule whatever so that, you know, you want it out of your brain. I get that. But, you know, how can you reduce the stress for your team of like, okay, do I need to hit send on this email right now? Or can I schedule this to go out on, you know, Tuesday at 10 or whatever it is to just, you know, ensure that you're reinforcing that that breaks are meant to be breaks and they're not meant to be like semi breaks.
Exactly. And I know you mentioned like during the year, and that's a different thing, right? So I feel like just making sure that you're scheduling your events, if you have that power to schedule them in a way that you do get some little bit of breaks in between. Also, if you're running events back to back, maybe if you don't have to be in the same capacity at, let's say, at one event versus another, perhaps that might be helpful to you. Sometimes being a lead planner, there's all that responsibility and there's just a, you know, there's just like a heaviness of that responsibility on you. So, but if you can shift and be maybe a strong support for, let's say, another team member as another team member leads another event, that can just at least help shift the responsibility a bit. So you're not always just operating at, you know, that just that top level all of the time. Where burnout tends to happen is when people are doing things over and over again, consistently going from one event to another and traveling. And at the end of that, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm just burnt out and I need a break. And it's great that you recognize you need a break, but it's also better to be more intentional about how you're managing yourself throughout that whole time. So anything that you can do, whether it be delegate, shift responsibility a bit, support in a different way, it's just going to be helpful for you not to be so burnt out where you feel like you need to just take 6 months off work or something like that.
For sure. For sure. So we are coming up to time. You know, I mentioned briefly at the beginning that you have your own podcast. So I'll let you tell us where we can find you on the internet. Tell us a bit more about your podcast and what you're doing over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So the Planners on Purpose podcast is the name of my podcast. So if you'd like to find me, you can search that on any podcast platform. You can also find me at plannersonpurpose.com on the web, plus all other social media, except for Twitter, which I'm Plan on Purpose. But I'm pretty sure if you just type in Planners on Purpose, you'll be able to find me. So, and what I'm doing over there is really just having some intentional conversations about burnout, about career scaling and personal development. So I love talking to event professionals that really love to learn about those things. So it's really a pleasure. I enjoy doing it. And yeah, it would be great to have you join me on there sometime.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Of course, I'll put all of the links that you mentioned in the show notes and people can find your podcast and find you online. I know you're quite active and post lots of great content. So people should definitely check that out. So thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. Follow us on social media and share your thoughts on this week's episode. This episode was brought to you by The Right Stuff Agency. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.